Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God, which shall be the basis of our meditation this day, the Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded in the second epistle of Peter, as it was just read. In Christ Jesus, dear Christian friends, the lack of civility in both houses of the United States Congress has almost become axiomatic in recent decades. There was a time when many warm friendships formed across party lines. I recall Tip O'Neill once commenting about President Reagan, "No matter how hard I try, I can't not like that man." The House and Senate ought to be places where honorable men of all persuasions can argue passionately about their beliefs of how our country might best proper, with all recognizing that their political opponents, just as passionately as they, believe in the ideals and freedoms of our country. But it no longer appears to be so. Within the church, the same understanding ought to be the case. And Peter's words in our text this morning frame those sorts of thoughts very accurately. In your perseverance, supply godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Eusebio, Philadelphia, agape. Three nouns that signify an attitude, a conversation of the Christian life. In an age of contentiousness, divisiveness, short tempers, and a spirit of looking out for oneself, what a contrast Peter paints of a life that is centered in reverence for God and in affection for one's fellow man. Godliness is a word not often used in our conversation today, nor is its cousin, piety. Perhaps we are too put off by having anyone think that we are a bunch of pietists, reflective of the age of pietism. I never hear anyone speak any longer of people who are pious or godly. Yet is that not what Peter urges? Godliness is a manner of life, a reverence and respect for God and the things of God, a life that is embracing holy living, a love of worship and adoration of Him who is our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. As we enter the Advent season, one cannot help but think ahead to that for which we prepare, the birth of our Lord Jesus, and see how on that one hallowed night of the year, a spirit of adoration takes hold of us as we kneel at the manger. That utter reverence, one would think, would captivate especially those who serve Him who alone is worthy of such adoration. Those who are to hold before God's people His holiness and mercy and grace. Added to such a manner of life are Philadelphia and agape. Brotherly kindness and unconditional love practiced in our daily lives. Those whose lives have been consumed by the fire of God's love will find that their love and reverence for God will also overflow into a corresponding love for one's brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus, as He carried out His ministry, was the epitome of love, dispensing mercy wherever he traveled, exercising judgment only for those who were obstinate in their sin or hypocritical in their piety. To even the worst of sinners, he showed mercy, offering forgiveness and exhorting them to amend their lives. That same ministerial spirit is to be found in those who are under shepherds, tending the Lord's lambs and sheep in accord with his will. Peter reminds us, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. What a poignant reminder, and how understated. You will be neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ if you practice such quality. We too have needed to be forgiven. We have required the mercy brought into the world by the Prince of Peace, for our lives too were shrouded by sin. He who descended from heaven to humble himself as the babe of Bethlehem did so on our behalf. He whose innocent blood was shed on the cross poured out that precious blood for us to cleanse and purify us, that our names may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let us not forget from where we have come. As is the case in Congress, too often in the church, bitter words and angry sentiments cloud our discourse with one another at every level, from congregations to synod. Such attitudes estrange people from one another and rend the body of Christ. Those who are contending for the faith once delivered to the saints are to be contending against the Prince of Darkness, not against one another in every little thing. Peter would remind us today that those who are purified know a better way, a way of oisebeia, of Philadelphia, of agape. We sang in the hymn a few moments ago, O Lord, how shall I meet you? How welcome you aright! Your people long to greet you, my hope, my heart's delight. O kindle, Lord, most holy, your lamp within my breast, to do in spirit lowly all that may please you best. We can't put it any better than that. As we make ready our hearts again for the coming of the Prince of Peace, we do well to reflect on his goodness and grace, and practice those attributes which proceed from the hearts of those who have been redeemed, who know the grace of God in Jesus Christ, and who are privileged to share it with others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.